This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. The energy company BP must have some kind of time machine because its latest energy outlook looks at what the world will produce and what we'll use way out to the year 2040. That's when a baby born today turns 22. Spencer Dale is BP's chief economist. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So I'm just going to guess, if we're looking out at energy consumption for these United States of America, and you're looking over many decades, I'm thinking it must be quintupling even more. I mean, energy consumption in the U.S. must skyrocket in the coming years, no?
No. Quintupling, that's a great word. No, it's broadly flat in countries like the United States and other developed economies like the U.K., Europe. And the argument there is the economy keeps growing, and so that generates more activity. But the machines we use, the cars we drive, get more and more efficient. And those two things broadly net off. So all the growth of energy demand in the world is coming from fast-growing developing economies, China and India.
It's so interesting. So it makes a difference when a new refrigerator is more energy efficient or someone is using a hybrid car. In the aggregate, it adds up for the United States.
Hugely efficient. So one statistic, just to get your arms around this, is we think the number of miles traveled by cars around the world will double, but the amount of oil needed to do that will stay broadly the same. The cars just get more and more efficient.
Now, energy production in the United States, that's what's going up in the coming decade.
Absolutely. And this is really important for the United States. So its demand for oil has been declining quite significantly over the last 10 years and will carry on declining. But at the same time, the United States production of oil, particularly U.S. shale oil and U.S. shale gas, is growing more and more. The U.S. is likely to emerge as by far and away the world's largest producer of both oil and natural gas.
Now, one of the findings you've highlighted in this report is that the energy market globally is going to be much more competitive. What do you mean by that?
Well, sort of three things which is going. Energy demand continues to grow, but it grows less quickly. So that demand side is more competitive. Lots of competition within fuels. That's the second one. So U.S. tight oil or U.S. shale oil competing against OPEC. The third one, lots of competition across fuels. We're thinking we're going to get to a world where the world's fuel mix is the most diversified we've ever seen, with oil, gas, coal, and non-fossil fuels, each providing around a quarter of the world's oil. If you've got all those energy sources competing against each other, that makes for a far more competitive global marketplace.
Now, some people listening will hear that you're from BP and wonder if you're understating that one quarter that is the renewable part of this. That's what you think the mix is going to be in the coming years, a quarter?
So for non-fossil fuels, in total, that includes hydropower and nuclear as well. For renewables, we have it growing from about 4% today to 14% by 2040. Now, you'll say, well, 14%, that doesn't sound very much. That growth from 4% to 14%, if renewables can grow at that rate, that would be the fastest growth that any energy has grown ever in history. So I am extraordinarily optimistic on renewable energy. BP's an energy company. We want to provide the energy of the future. If that's renewable energy, fine. Let's go and produce a renewable energy.
And you can draw a pretty straight line between the growth in non-fossil fuels in this mix and, in theory, reducing the amount of carbon dioxide that's getting out into the atmosphere.
Yes. And the story in our energy outlook is carbon emissions are growing less quickly than they were before. That's good news. The bad news is they're continuing to grow. And any sort of analysis consistent with hitting those goals we all saw agreed to in Paris means they need to fall very sharply. And so a message from the energy outlook is we still need to do an awful lot more if we're going to get those carbon emissions coming down like we all hope to see them do.
So it's going to go to 14%. But if you're really focused on the carbon, maybe that percentage, the world has to figure out a way to get that percentage higher.
Exactly. How can we generate two things, I think? One is how can we get renewable energy growing higher? And also, how can we lead to a sort of cleaner, lower carbon fuel mix more generally? So a shift away from coal into natural gas. That's a key thing we're seeing around the world. That also has huge benefits because the carbon emissions associated with natural gas are roughly half that associated with coal.
Now, the present U.S. administration is a fan of fossil fuel, wants to keep coal very much in the mix. Are you seeing the early effects of domestic U.S. policy in the longer-term energy trends?
I think it's still early days. I think the key point here in the U.S., we've seen natural gas over the last few years gain significant share relative to coal. What was driving that predominantly was not policies, it was economics. the growth of lots and lots of low-cost natural gas generated by shale gas just meant that gas was able to compete against coal, particularly in producing power, and that caused coal to be crowded out, and importantly, led to significant carbon reductions as well in the US.
That's interesting. So it was economics, less so policy.
Absolutely. This is an economic-driven thing.